Good. Thank you for coming again this morning. If you were here last week, we were looking at the overview of the Holy Spirit through the Bible, from the beginning of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 2, through to the end of Revelation, where the Spirit and the bride say, "Come." And the Spirit has been active throughout time, throughout history, and even beyond, because as we were seeing last week, the Holy Spirit is part of the Godhead, co-equal. We speak of them as first, second, and third person of the Trinity. That's human thinking. There's no hierarchy within the person of God. They are all one, all equal, all coexistent. And we were seeing that, reminding ourselves last week about that. And then we looked towards the end of the protection that the Holy Spirit gives us as God's people, that armour of God. I don't know how much you've made use of it this last week. I was trying to encourage you to get protected. When I've been speaking to pastors in Rwanda and also in Romania, we've acted it out. I've got them all up, including their wives. We've all acted out putting the armour of God on, just as a reminder that it's an essential part of our everyday living as God's people. We're in a battle. We saw that last week. And we're not fighting against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers in heavenly realms. So we need to be protected. We need to be dressed right for engaging in that work that God has called us to. So it's the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, shoes of peace, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, and prayer. Those things that God, the Holy Spirit, has given us as a means of protection. So this week, we're moving on. I'm pleased to be with you for 3 weeks. So here's week two. And we're going to be looking at the fruit of the Spirit. But I've got another Bible reading that I'd like to share with you that just ties in with what we've just had, that Andy's read to us. This weekend, we've got family with us, our daughter Zoe and Jemima, Bethany and Lizzie are back at home, and there's Matt here as well. And it's good to have a bit of family time together before Jemima goes off to America tomorrow. She's only going there for about 6 months, and then she'll be back, hopefully. But I thought it would be great just to ask Jemima to come up and do another Bible reading for us. So, Jemsy, could you come, please, and read John chapter 15? John chapter 15, and we're reading just the first eight verses 1 to 8. These are words that Jesus spoke to his disciples. Again, important conversation that we're dropping in on. Before Jesus dies, before he comes to finish, as it were, his involvement on a human level with this world. But speaking to his disciples. So we're just going to hear this and then we'll look at our teaching together. Thanks, Jim.
So John chapter 15, first eight verses. I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples.
Thank Thank you. As with last week, I have done some teaching notes that you're able to collect, and Jemima and Matt will be handing them out or offering them to you as you leave. So do take some of those. We're going to be more or less seeing the same come up on the screen as we go through. Also, I've got some from last week, so if you missed last week and you'd like some notes, then please take those as well. And one more thing whilst I remember, Lee's got some handouts for the men's breakfast, next men's breakfast, which is coming up on the 16th of November. And a friend of ours is coming up from Essex. He's a CAD operator in the sense. He's a drawer, a design drawer, and he's coming up just to speak about his work, about his experience of the Lord in his life. But he also is a trumpeter. He plays in various bands, and he's coming to play his trumpet as well there in the pub at the Red Lion. So, men, come along, join us, and hear of God's work in our friend Floyd's life. Unless you abide in me. Bev spoke about choices, and we have choices to make, even as those who have committed our lives to follow Jesus. We have a choice. And I wonder how different our lives are from the rest of the world. Now, I appreciate life needs to be lived, so unless you resort to an extreme form of living, you generally go in with things that are part of everyday life. Most of us will have a car. Most of us will have a washing machine. Most of us will have a cooker. Most of us will have heating of one sort or another. So those sort of things, yes, we accept. If you go from our house to our next door neighbour's house, apart from sort of the decor, you may find that there are many things that are similar. But actually behind that, and maybe deeper than that, there's something more about how we live that should show, that should be evident to the world around us. And this is something which we're going to be looking at today as we consider the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's the work of the Holy Spirit in us that produces this fruit. Now, if we can have our first slide up, please. Oh, yeah, we've got to jump, I'm afraid. This is last week, so I didn't separate them off. Anyway, here's a nice summary of last week. There we go. This is the Holy Spirit. Keep it going. That's it. I should have told you and separated it off. Good, good, good. Next. Yes, yes, yes. All good reminders. And the next one. Oh, yes. Lots from last week. Look at this. We covered all this last week. Brilliant. And again. Yes. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Let's have the next bit of the slide, if we may. Good. Here we are. This is a definition of fruit. Fruit has been defined as the visible expression of the invisible power working within. The visible expression of the invisible power working within. Think about a fruit tree. The fruit is the visible expression of the invisible power working within. Yes? Good. Glad we're together on that one. Now, this is the same with the work of the Holy Spirit. The next bit of the slide. The fruit of the Spirit is the evidence of his life in us. So if we took that phrase and sort of applied it to Galatians, we would get the visible expression of the Holy Spirit working within us. So when we say how different are we from the rest of the world, we should be significantly different because we have the Holy Spirit living within us. And this makes a big difference, should make all the difference. But we have a choice. And this is what we'll be considering in our time today. There are two aspects, I would say, two elements with our salvation. Inasmuch as, yes, we are born again of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said that to Nicodemus, a religious guy who hadn't quite put the things together. He was a bit confused, but Jesus helped him to understand that you have to be born again of the Holy Spirit. And for all of us, we need to be born again of the Holy Spirit. You can't follow Jesus. You can't be a disciple unless you are born again. Oh, you can be religious if you want to. You can be a churchgoer. You can read the Bible. You can know the Bible. You can do theology. You can do whatever you like, but you'll never know what it is to be a child of God unless you're born again of the Holy Spirit. That's the only way. So if you want to be a follower of Jesus, if you want to be right with God, be born again of the Holy Spirit. That's part one, if you like. But then the Bible speaks of being filled with the Holy Spirit, of the Holy Spirit being very much evident in our lives as a result of us being born again of him. If you like, being born again is a work of God upon us. But the filling of the Holy Spirit, this which the Bible speaks about, this extra, if you like, is something which is the work of God within us. Now, both of them involve our will. You have to choose to follow Christ. You don't do it by accident. You're not born again by accident. And you can't be born again by proxy. You can't ask somebody else, would you mind being born again on my behalf? Doesn't work. You must be born again personally, individually. You yourself are deliberate of your will, choice. Now, for some of us, it happens maybe in a moment like that. We make a decision. But for others of us, perhaps a little bit more of a coming to understand. But the reality is there must be that time when we have made that decision. But then also involved in the filling of the Holy Spirit. That again is something we have to choose to allow with the Holy Spirit. You see, for many of us, we have come from a life without Christ. And Paul makes this comparison quite often. He says of how they were before they came to Christ, the sort of life they live. And in fact, we've read some of the things that are evidence of a life without Christ. But then Paul says that there is that moment that we change to living under his rule, living his way. And that's the choice, that we leave behind the old life, and we decide to follow Jesus and live that new life that he has for us. In Matthew chapter 7 and verses 18 and 20, Jesus underlines the way in which the fruit is that outward visible expression of what is going on within. He says, a good tree cannot bear bad fruit. Obvious. And a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. And then he goes on, by their fruit you will recognize them. So can I ask again, what do people see in you and me that identifies us as belonging to Christ? You see, there are many good people, as we would say, in the world who are not following Christ. Many who will do good things like you and me. Maybe in some ways, sadly, even better than we may see ourselves. But what is it then that is this distinction? If we are living with the Holy Spirit within us, what makes this difference? It's not the fruit that makes the tree good. It's the tree which is shown to be good by the fruit. And in some ways, we have to understand we cannot do as much good as we can on the outside to hopefully get the inside sorted. That doesn't work. We've been working in prison, both here in this country and also overseas. And one of the things we've said right from the start with the director of the prison was that you and I know, however many programs you try to sort people's lives out, it'll never actually get to the heart of the matter. Excuse the pun. Because it's the heart that needs to change. And the change of heart only comes by one person, and that is the Lord Jesus. We were clear with them. And the director was there standing nodding because he knew. And the same is true for you and me. However much good we try and do, we will never be good enough. We will never sort out the problem. We need a change of heart. And we need that change to be done by the Holy Spirit, God himself. So it's the evidence. Now, please, open your Bibles, if you can, to Galatians chapter 5. Because we're going to kind of look through this and we're going to reference then back to John 15. So it's the visible expression of the Holy Spirit working within us. And what Paul says in verse 16 to 18, he says basically, if you live according to the Spirit, you will not do those things of the old life. In other words, if you do the one, you will not do the other. Many of us try it the other way around. We try not to do the wrong in order that we hopefully can do some right. Actually, it's much better to focus on what the Spirit can do in terms of doing the right. I mean, if you do that, you won't do the wrong. You understand? The focus is on the Holy Spirit working within us. He will do what is right. And if we are doing what is right, we won't be doing what is wrong. You understand as well that many of us do try to stop doing the wrong things. We try to, in our own strength. We try, I tried against it and I failed. Well, this is where, again, we've just got to get an understanding that it's allowing the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, to rule in our lives, to have his way in our lives. And that's our choice. But it's a choice we're able to make because of being born again of the Spirit. Verse 17, Paul underlines the incompatibility of the two. Paul, in another time, he kind of says to the church, if you have died to sin, why do you live in it any longer? Why still are you doing that which is wrong? If you've died to it, it's kind of Paul reasoning things through. And in a sense, he's saying the same thing here. He says, if you live according to the Holy Spirit, you will not do the things that gratify the flesh. They're incompatible. They don't go together. They can't kind of live in the same person. And you might say, well, yeah, that's all very good in writing, but how does it work out in practice? Well, again, it comes down to our will, our choice, day by day, to live according to the way of the Spirit. And yet Paul acknowledges that there is an ongoing challenge in verse 18. And Paul speaks of this ongoing challenge very much from a personal perspective. He's not just writing all the right things. He's actually writing out of his experience. Back in Romans chapter 7, Paul speaks of the struggle he has, knowing what he should be doing, and yet the old nature keeps on coming back. Paul knows the struggle of what it is to live according to the Spirit, but he doesn't back away from actually challenging himself and us to say this is how we should be living if we're going to be living right before God as well as before other men. Just to give you a little bit of background to Galatians, apart from what Andy was saying, thank you, Andy. In Galatians, in the time of the Galatian church, there was a group of believers who were coming into the church encouraging people to just introduce a few of the old things from the old covenant, particularly circumcision. They were kind of saying, yes, it's good that you are following Jesus, but don't forget you really do need to be circumcised. Don't forget you really do need to include some of these things from the old covenant. And by that, you'll get a better salvation. And so Paul is really coming back at that to say, no, this is not right. In fact, the Galatian church seemed to have been led astray. Paul almost puts his hand up. What's happened to you? You started so well and now you're going off course. And Paul is writing to them to encourage them not to get tied up with the human aspect, but to very much focus back on the things of the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit. Do you know, we can do that today within church. We can be so much taken up with the human aspect of church, the way we do things, the order we do things in, how we look, how we speak, how we do whatever we do. And sometimes that almost becomes as important and sadly even more important and the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. You and I need to take warning from the letter to the Galatians to not get trapped by those things which are not of the Holy Spirit, those things which are of human ideologies, those things that are human reasoning, human ways. You know, sadly, a lot of our security can be in things that we do of human design. Our security needs to be in our relationship with the Lord. And this is what Paul is reminding the Galatians. It's about your relationship by faith in Christ Jesus. Not by works, not by what you do, not by what you wear, not by how you do things, but by faith in Jesus. And this is true for you and me. It's faith in Christ alone that brings about our salvation. And Paul is underlining this here. And then he moves on in verses 19 to 23. And he's looking at a contrast, a sharp comparison he makes in order to emphasize the importance of this life in the Spirit. So we're looking here at Galatians 5 and verses 19 to 23. And Paul gives us two lists. Kind of one is an example of the old life, the way of the old nature. And it's the acts that he defines. We can have that from that. I haven't written you the list. I suppose part of it was that I didn't want to focus on this. But the list is there. So look at the Bible and see the list that it gives. Because again, the danger can be, we read it and we think, good, yes, that's not us. How easy it is to be like the Pharisee. Oh, I thank you, Lord, that I'm not like him. And we look at the list and we think, oh, phew, jolly good, we don't do those sort of things, don't we? Sexual immorality. Jesus said, if you look and desire. Impurity. That speaks of lewdness, uncleanness. Again, sometimes, you know, some of those things that go through our minds, some of those things that are there in our hearts, some of those things we allow ourselves to look at, to listen to, at work, at home. Idolatry, witchcraft, image worship. You might not have a wooden statue, but you've got to, probably some of us have a metal one with four wheels that we spend a lot of time looking after, sorting out. Or maybe something similar that is very special to us and has a bit of a place in our lives. Idol worship creeps in a visit easily when something becomes very special. Hatred speaks of enmity, hostility. Do you know, I've met a few people within church situations who aren't talking to one another, who don't sit close by each other, have nothing to do with each other. Why? Because something upset them in the past. And there's enmity, there's hostility, and there it is, week by week by week. Discord, same thing applies. Strife, wrangling. It's just so sad over some of the things that we get hung up about within church life, within our own lives. Little things that we let become so important. And we argue about them, we wrangle about them, we have strife. Jealousy. Jealousy speaks of unfavorable zeal. It's that desire within for something that we haven't got, that somebody else has got, that we want. And that again can creep in. Even with some of those things that may seem right, gifts of the Spirit, and we become jealous about what somebody else can do and we can't. Fits of rage. Fits of rage is that burning anger that sometimes simmers for a long time and then something just sparks it off and whoosh. Selfish ambition. Sadly, there can be a lot of that within the church, because we want to just have that right place in the eyes of other people. We want a position that's got a title, that gives us a bit of credibility, makes us feel a bit better, maybe makes us feel more involved, more whatever we have in terms of reason, there it can be. Dissensions, divisions, disunity, factions. Faction speaks of heresies, sects. Well, hopefully we don't have much of that, but it's creeping within the church. And Jesus said, in the last days, you'll have false teachers within the church. False prophets are outside of the church. False Christs are outside of the church. False teachers come within the church. If someone walked into the fellowship today and said, I'm the Christ, we'd say, no, you're not. But if somebody comes in and just distorts the teaching, if we don't know our Bibles, we're vulnerable. And this is where we can get those factions coming into the church. I'm reading a couple of books about these sort of things at the moment that are there potentially within the church, where you've had division. Churches have broken up because of these factions that have come into the church of Jesus. Some of them are over things as to how we do things. Some of them are over theological understandings. But this is not of the spirit. This is of the flesh. Drunkenness, orgies and the like. The word for orgies is uninhibited life. Riot, if you like. And sometimes some, as Paul said, use this freedom in Christ to almost live as they want and go to excess, uninhibited way of living. So again, what I'm saying is, this list that we read quickly and think, oh, that's okay, we're not in there, we are. The mud sticks, as it were, because that's so easy to allow to creep in because of our human nature, our sinful nature, the old life that is still lurking. But then Paul makes this wonderful contrast. It's lovely when you look at the buts in the Bible. The buts. Those things that one situation is described and then it's contrast with another, with that word but. And here's one of those buts. But the fruit of the Spirit. The acts are all too evident. Yes, they are. But the fruit of the Spirit. Now please notice, and I've been a bit pedantic here, but I think it's helpful. It's the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruits. Now there are different elements, if you like, to this fruit. But I want us to understand, it's what the Holy Spirit himself brings. It's not a selection. Bev graciously gave the children a choice of biscuits. They could have one or the other, and the sweets. But actually, the Holy Spirit comes to bring all his fullness into our lives. Not just a selection box, so which one would you like? No, it's more that here's the Holy Spirit, and here's the richness, wow, of this life in Christ. And here it is. This is the fruit of the Spirit. This is what we can have. This is what we can be. This is the difference that can be evident in our life. And here it is. The love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the kindness, the goodness, the gentleness, the faithfulness, the self-control. All these things are there with us through the Holy Spirit. And the choice is ours. It's a choice about saying yes to this way of living. Yes to the Holy Spirit bearing this fruit in us. It's our will, not our effort. Yet many of us are relying on our own effort to try and get some of these things happening in our lives. And so I'm trying. I'm really trying. I'm focused particularly on this bit or that bit or the other bit. I'm really going for it. But it's not about our effort. It is about our will. You see, it's by the power of the Holy Spirit that these things come. These are of the Holy Spirit. They're not of us. So however much effort we put in, we'll never get these. Not when they're of the Holy Spirit, but when we allow the Holy Spirit, when we say yes to the Holy Spirit, then the Holy Spirit can begin producing these in us. Do you understand? A few nods. But it is. Now, I know it sounds simple. And in some ways, it is simple. It's a simple choice that we can make. Lord, here I am. Holy Spirit, here I am. Holy Spirit, please manifest yourself in my life today. And then as we allow the Holy Spirit in all aspects of our life, these things will become evident. This is the fruit, the evidence, the visible evidence. People will see. Now you might say, yeah, but Andy, aren't these all the things that other people show as well? Yeah, but on a different level. Yes, there's truth that God has graciously put within mankind something of these things. But it's when the Holy Spirit comes, he brings almost a different dimension to these. You see, here we're talking about love, which is the agape love. It's a deep affection, a benevolence. It's a willingness to sacrifice in order to show love. It's not dependent on feelings. It's dependent on our will. Then we've got the joy, the cheerfulness, the calm delight. It's something that's a bit deeper than just having a smile on your face. And so we go through to understand that there's a depth that the Holy Spirit brings to these aspects of our lives that makes a difference. Now the passage we had from John chapter 15, Jesus kind of clarifies a relationship. In fact, he clarifies several relationships. Very much in John 15, just to, if you like, flip back to John 15, and you'll see that Jesus is speaking very much of the interrelationship between him, his Father, and the Holy Spirit. Of course there's interconnection, because they're in relationship. What is wonderful is that man was made for relationship out of relationship. Right at the beginning, God made man and said, let us, speaking of Elohim, plural, let us make man. There was God in perfect relationship, making man out of relationship. What for? For relationship. Father God and God himself would come down and walk with man in the cool of the evening in relationship. And then what do we see? That God finds that man's alone and needs a relationship that he can really enjoy. So he makes woman, and woman and man become that relationship. So relationship is the heart of God. And here Jesus is speaking of that relationship that there is between him and Father and Holy Spirit. And Father will send, I will ask, the Holy Spirit will come. I'm in the Father, the Father is me, and is in me. And then Jesus even extends it. He says, you can be included in this relationship. I in you, and you in me. Wow. How special is this? That you and I can actually be part of this relationship, as it were, within God himself. Amazing. I've got a relationship with my wife. I've had it for many years. That relationship has changed my life, and hopefully it's changed hers for the better. But we're in real close relationship. It's made an impact on our lives. When I started going out with Liz, the whole college knew. Why? Because I told them. It made a difference to my life. It made an impact on my life, and ever since. Oh, it's not always a breeze, but hey, it's worth it. But the same is true for the Lord Jesus. We can be in relationship with the Jesus, the creator of all things, the one who was there at the beginning, the one who's there at the end. The bride will say, come, as Jesus comes back to receive his church unto himself. That perfect relationship, that perfect union, that's what we're about. That's what we were made for. No wonder people are screwed up. No wonder people are desperate about their identity. Why? Because they haven't found the Lord Jesus. Because they're not in relationship with Jesus. That's at the heart of it. That's at the problem.
and how they need to know that they can be in relationship with Jesus, how they can be in relationship with the God who made them to be in relationship. And that's the privilege you and I have, to be in this relationship. And Jesus says, if you abide in me and I in you, you will bear fruit. And then he goes on, you will bear good fruit. And the thing is that we are about bearing good fruit, and here is good fruit. You see, Paul underlines it and says, oh, you can look at that old list and you'll find that there is law against every one of those things. And you can look back in the Old Testament, you can find the laws that will apply to all of those things that Paul lists as the acts of the flesh. But hey, Paul says, when you get to this list, you'll not find any law against them. Because this is all of God. This is good fruit. This is what God is looking for. And this will produce good relationships. So there's no law against these. So good fruit. Colossians 1, chapter 10, and verses 10 and 11. Live a life worthy of the Lord, and that you may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work. There's a little phrase, I forget which gospel it's in now, but Jesus is spoken of as, he went around doing good. Do you know, in the early, in the first part of the Bible, God created things, and it says, and he saw that it was good. And Jesus went around doing good. You see the connection? And if you and I are in relationship with him, we will also do
good.
Yes. We've sort of lessened the value of this word good. What's it like? Oh, it's good. And we now come up with other words that sort of are bigger and more expressive. But actually, the word good is good. All good, thoroughly good. And that's what we're about. Here are things that are good. And when you and I evidence these things, when the Holy Spirit manifests these in us, we will also go around, like Jesus, doing good. So it's good fruit. And then the other thing Jesus said is lasting fruit. Listen, John 15, 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you. Amazing. You and I thought we made a decision to follow Jesus. Well, yes, we did. But actually, here's another dimension to it. I chose you. Bible says even before the foundation of the world, God chose us in Christ. That's amazing. But hang on. God is all-knowing. So if he's all-knowing, he will know everything. Therefore, he knows even in time who will and won't respond to him. So God can't help but know. But actually, in knowing, he also chose us in Christ. Wonderful. And you and I have been chosen. What for? He goes on. To bear fruit. Fruit that will last. And this is it for you and me. Lasting fruit. Here are things that will last. These will make a difference, not just for now, but can do for eternity when we allow the Holy Spirit to manifest those in and through us to the lives of people. Here is fruit that will last. Oh, there are many things you can spend time doing, many things you can invest in, but they won't last. Either you'll get taken or they'll get taken. But they'll go. They'll not last. But here are things that can last, that can have an eternal impact as the Holy Spirit manifests them in our lives and for those that we work and live with. And the last thing is increasing fruit. John 15, 2. While every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will even be more fruitful. See, it's not just about bearing some, it's about bearing more. And the Holy Spirit doesn't want to just give us one dose of his fruit. He wants to manifest more in our lives so that we become a blessing, more of a blessing to those that we live with and those that we work with. I think there's another slide. Let's have a look at this. Next bit. Next one. Next one, is it coming? Maybe it's blank. Maybe it's a surprise slide. Is there anything more? There should be. Oh, whoa, did you catch that? There! Why? Actually, I thought, okay, wasn't there another slide in between that was how? Oh, yes, yes, yes. That was a glimpse of it. Okay, well, don't worry. Listen if you can. Because when we look at how, well, back in Galatians chapter 5, you'll see how. Look at verses 16, 18, and 25. Hey, good, it's come up. Here are some of those things that help us to produce this fruit, if you like, to live in this way. First of all, Peel speaks about the crucified, the sinful nature. Again, this is something we can do. Oh, we are regenerated, we are born again of God, but this is something that we are actively doing, crucifying the sinful nature, putting it to death. Romans chapter 8. If you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if you, by the Spirit, put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. What a lovely turn of phrase. If you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if you put to death by the Spirit, you will live. So we crucify that sinful nature. In Galatians earlier, chapter 2, I think it is, in verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. So here's the reality. We have died to the old life. This is where baptism is so important. I don't want to give you more teaching, much more, but baptism. Romans chapter 6, you have a read of it, and it tells it quite clearly what happens in baptism. We die with Christ. We are buried with Christ, and we rise with Christ. What a wonderful set of events happen in baptism. Baptism is a symbol. There's nothing special about the water, but hey, something significant is happening, or should be, because Paul spells it out. We die with Christ as we go down into the water. And then going under the water, and the biblical word is to be fully under, then you are buried with Christ in baptism. And then as you come up out of the water, you are rising again to a new life in Christ. It's a work of God in you. And we're crucified, we're buried, and we rise together. It's a reality. Then Paul goes on in Galatians to say, we walk by the Spirit. Three times. Different phrases. Walk, led, live. Walk, led, live. And then he finishes off with, keep in step, march with the Spirit. Again, there's a sense in which here, it's an ongoing experience. It's not just a one-off. Oh, you are born again once. But actually, that's the justification, the work of the Holy Spirit in you. But then you need to be sanctified by the Holy Spirit. That's an ongoing work. And here's the ongoing work, the walking, the being led, the living, the keeping in step. That's an everyday experience for you and for me. And this is how we allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, day by day, producing his fruit. But it's our choice. This is, again, coming down to our part. We don't become robots, but we become active in that relationship as we allow that relationship to be part of our everyday life. And then in John 15, Jesus talks about remaining in Christ. That phrase, in Christ, is used a lot by the Apostle Paul. Makes all the difference, you know. When you're in Christ. If you're in Christ, you're a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Full stop. Full stop isn't in the Bible, but you know. And it's a reality of being in Christ. And if we're in Christ, then we are heirs. Heirs of God, heirs with Christ. This intimate relationship is what we become part of. Isn't that amazing? I'm struck by that. That we enjoy that intimacy with God. Even Jesus said, hey, You can start calling God Abba. That's one of the closest relationships you can get. Daddy. It's lovely. My girls call me Daddy. That's very special. No one else is their daddy. It's me. Yay! And that's the same intimate relationship we have with Father God. Isn't that amazing? Amen. Hello? It's wonderful, people. It's wonderful. And it's something that we can relish in, enjoy, and let it ooze out. Sometimes we talk about, I think one of the girls was saying, looking at a picture and saying, oh, look, this is a bit like you in me kind of thing. You know, we were looking at similar, and some of the characteristics show up in our girls. But hey, this is where some of the all of the characteristics should show up in us. The characteristics of the Holy Spirit that were there in Jesus. Jesus was someone full of the Holy Spirit. He didn't need to be filled. He was full. He was full. You and I can be filled until we're full by God's grace. But it's that filling, just like Jesus, the characteristics of Jesus. There was someone who evidenced the Holy Spirit perfectly. And it's something now we can enjoy, we can be part of. I just want to move now just to another thing. Move on, please, with the next one. There's inevitable pruning. Fruit trees have to be pruned. And here are these three. Three ways in which I would suggest we are pruned, and Jesus speaks of it in John 15. You see, there's either a cutting back or there's a cutting off. Jesus seems to be saying some very strong things here. I don't know much about vines, but what I think I do know is that a vine and its branches are one of the same thing. You can't have the vine without the branches, you can't have the branches without the vine. And Jesus is making an amazing statement here. I'm the vine, you're the branches. That's an amazing statement he's making. But he's saying, don't just take it for granted, there is pruning, inevitable pruning. You'll either be cut back or you'll be cut off. And I would suggest we are cut back in two ways, by testing and by maturing. Testing, which can be the work of the Holy Spirit within us, a testing to just prune us back and make us more fruitful. That's the purpose of pruning, to make those branches that bear fruit even more fruitful. And sometimes it can be painful. Pruning is a cutting. And so when times of testing come, brothers and sisters, don't run away from them. But allow the Holy Spirit to do his work in your life and mine in order that we bear more fruit. There's a pruning by maturing. I've got some verses. You'll have them in your notes. We haven't got time now. Maturing. You see, as we grow, we will mature in Christ. And as we mature, we will be able to live in a way that is honouring to the Lord, in a way that is right with him, showing that fruit in our lives as we grow more mature in Christ. So there's that pruning of things in our life as we grow more mature in him. We are able to put to death more and more those things that are of the old nature. But then there's the cutting off. Jesus says those branches that don't bear fruit are cut off and are burned. Without going too deep into this, it just seems that Jesus is saying there are those who may well be attached to the vine, but are not bearing fruit. Is it that they made a commitment to follow Jesus? Is it that they put their hand up? Is it that they had some emotional, maybe some spiritual experience? We don't know. But that second phase, if you like, the work of the Holy Spirit in their lives hasn't happened. It was a sort of a one-off, a date in the diary. Oh, I had that sort of experience. And I've met them. People have said, I've been born again. I put my hand up. I went through it. I was at a crusade. Or you've probably met them. And yet it was just a moment that passed. And there is not that fruit of the Holy Spirit. But it can be true maybe of
you and me, that our relationship with the Lord just becomes a little bit routine and loses that relationship aspect. And routine replaces it. Oh, we go through the motions. That's what the Pharisees and the Sadducees were tending to do. Going through the motions. That's what the Israelites did in the Old Testament. Going through the motions to the point where God had to say, I'm sick of your offerings. Oh, if only someone would shut the gates of the temple. Sometimes, you know, the Lord may say that of us. If only someone would keep those doors locked. Just to stop you going through the routines of your Sunday rituals when I want a relationship with you. Brothers and sisters, please never let it be said that the Lord comes and closes your doors. Look in Revelation, letter to the churches, and who closes churches down? The Lord, the Spirit, not man. And there are many people meeting as churches in the eyes of man, and there's no Holy Spirit within there. Jesus said to the church in Revelation, sort it out, or I'll come and sort you out. And I would say to you on an individual level, sort it out. I don't know where you are in your relationship with the Lord, but if you've never fully committed to yourself to the Lord, do it. Stop messing around and do it. And then allow His Spirit to work in your life and produce that fruit that makes all the difference for you. And for people around you. Look at the early church. What a difference they made. What an impact they made. Why? Because they bore the fruit of the Spirit. It was evidence. And it said they enjoyed the favour of all the people. That speaks of the community where the church was based. The community were blessed and they enjoyed being there with the church. Just like Jesus. People loved to be around Jesus. Why? Because He exuded the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit was manifesting. He was a lovely guy. He was a patient guy. He was a kind guy. He was someone you wanted to be around. Is that true for you and me? Do people want to be around us? Not because of what we look like, not because of our trendy gear, but because of the Spirit living within us, that fruit of the Spirit. You know, another lovely thing is that fruit is to be enjoyed, isn't it? You don't have a fruit tree. We've got a cherry tree. Our cherry tree was struggling a little bit. I had to do a bit of cutting back. Well, I had to do a bit of cutting out, actually. But there were four branches. One had to be cut, but three survived. And thankfully, they've borne fruit this last season. And do you know what we did? Not only did we look at it and get excited about it, but when it was right, we picked it. We enjoyed it. Do you know something about the fruit of the Spirit? It's there to be enjoyed. Not just to be looked at. You don't have a fruit tree in your garden and just look at it, do you, Paul? No, you have a fruit tree so that you can enjoy it. And that's what Jesus wants. He wants to enjoy. Father wants to enjoy seeing His fruit in His church. And He's coming looking for it. Revelation again, we find that the Holy Spirit reveals to John that Jesus comes and walks amongst the lampstands. The lampstands stand for the church of Jesus. And Jesus is coming to walk amongst His church. Because He's looking for fruit. Fruit that'll last. Not just because He wants to look at it and say, wow, isn't that nice? No, He wants to enjoy it. Share in it. But He also wants others to enjoy it and share in it. He wants you as the church, me as the church, to be a blessing to our communities. To bless those who curse us. To do good to those who have evil intent against us. To manifest the fruit of the Holy Spirit, just like Jesus. Time's up. We need to pray. And we need to ask that we may be available for the Holy Spirit. We've got a closing song that can become a prayer. It can be a prayer that you and I can reaffirm or maybe make for the first time. Just before we sing it, let's pray together.